Good morning, I'm John O'Connor, friend of the family, originally co-worker of Marvin's, International Harvester, about 1959. I'm 18 or 19 years younger than Marge, so I showed up as her husband's friend. A few years later, I got married and I had a couple of kids of my own, and I'd visit Marge and Marvin off and on. And when my kids were 5 or 6 years old, Marv said, "Listen, I have this camper. Can you use it on your vacation?" I said, "That's wonderful." So my kids and I and my wife started using the camper. And I thought, gee, what a nice gift to offer an old buddy from the office. The years went on. I moved away from Chicago, but every time I was in Chicago, I'd stop in and visit Marge and Marvin. Years went on. This all started about 1959. And as the years went on, I started to notice that Marge is a delightful lady. Sometimes I'd phone and she'd pick up the phone, and here's all this happiness on the phone. She doesn't even know yet who called. And I'd say, "Hello, it's John O'Connor," and this delightful glee would come through the phone. "Oh, how are you? Here's Marv." And so that's all I'd get from that phone call of Marge. And I'd talk for 20 minutes to Marvin, and a year later, another phone call, and the same response. And eventually, I started thinking, I'm getting cheated. I'm only getting 15 seconds of Marge. And I get grumpy old Marv, you know, for 20 minutes. And so the years went on, and she started working her magic on me. Now, I'll back up a few years. When my kids were 6 and 8 years old, one day, at my parents' house, there's a photo album of me and my brothers and sisters when I was younger. So my two little girls are looking at these pictures they'd never seen before, and all of a sudden, with great glee, "Daddy, Daddy, we always wondered, now we know why Mom married you." I said, "What are you talking about?" "You were handsome then." Well, yesterday in the funeral home, I was looking through that wonderful book from the 50th wedding anniversary that the kids put together, and there I saw young Marvin, and I knew why Marge married Marvin. He was a little more handsome then, and his grin wasn't quite as wide. As he got older, well, the grin just got wider and wider, and today it's wider than it's ever been. But Marge found a handsome young man to marry. Now, along the way, over these years, when I'd stop back in Chicago, it was usually Christmas time. So I'd show up at the house, and Marge would say, "Here's some Christmas cookies." And it didn't really register on me. I enjoyed them, it didn't register on me, other than it's Christmas time and I'm in a house, and here's some Christmas cookies. So I enjoyed them and visited for a few hours and left, and the next Christmas, same thing would happen, and the next Christmas that I was in town, same thing would happen. And one year, I didn't show up until about March. And I came in and sat down, and Marge said, "John, I saved some Christmas cookies for you." And it was springtime, and here I am eating her wonderful Christmas cookies. And I had no idea that she treated everybody on the planet that way, and how wonderful that was to be treated that way. And so the years went on, and she and Marvin visited with me in Florida for a while, not too many years ago, and I continued to visit them every time in Chicago. And when I would have parties in Chicago, most of the time they would come and share the joy with my other friends. And the cookies. And well, recently, I became a grandfather for the first time, and a few months ago, around Easter time, I showed up with my 20-month-old grandson, Nick, and we're in the living room, and Marge, and I had told Marge that Nick is an odd kid, he likes hot tea. And she said, "Oh, isn't that wonderful?" And before you know it, there's a TV table and a tea set, and she puts out some broken-down-looking cake next to the tea. Well, I'm busy pouring tea for Nick, and he's enjoying tea, and he's eating this cake, and I'm thinking, "Ah, that's not cake for boys. Cake for boys is chocolate cake. Marge knows that. Why didn't she have chocolate chip cookies or chocolate cake for this little boy?" And I'm ignoring that cake when I'm drinking tea, and Nick's eating through the cake, and without thinking, while I drink tea, I take a little morsel of cake. Wow, that's good. I eat some more, but the kid is devouring it. Well, Marge kept her eye on this, and she said, John, I have a little more of the cake in the kitchen. Would you like me to get it? And I said, sure. So she brings the rest of the cake out. And I'm thinking with part of my mind, what's the matter with you, John? You're fighting a 20-month-old kid in a life-and-death struggle for cake. What's going on here? Normally, I wouldn't fight a 20-month-old kid. Well, then Marge started talking, and she said, you know, John, that cake you're eating, I have this mold for making Easter cake, a lamb or a bunny, I don't remember which. She said, and there's these different parts, and you're supposed to bake the cake, and then you've assembled the pieces. And I think she said she bought the mold in a garage sale. She said, well, I used it, but it didn't work. When I tried to put the pieces together, it was difficult, and I put toothpicks in to try and hold the ear on. But it didn't work, and so what I finally wound up doing is I cemented all the pieces together with frosting. Now, darn on me, here I am eating a cake that's more than 50% frosting. This is the perfect cake for the little boy inside me. You know, of course, every little boy knows more frosting, less cake. Well, Marge had got to that in a different way, but there's the end result. Best cake I ever had, and little Nick, too. Now, one other thing, every time I would show, and I travel a lot. I live in New Jersey, and I travel around a lot. And so over the years, Marge observed that as soon as I show up, Marvin's over there hanging around my car and inevitably says, how much did gas cost on the road? How much did gasoline cost? And so I had an envelope I'd carry on a sun visor, and in it my gas receipts, and I'd write on the envelope, New Jersey, $1.09, Ohio, $1.29. So Marvin looked at that, and he'd comment on it. And it came to be a routine. He expected to see that when I showed up. Well, a couple of years of that go by, and before you know it, when I'd phone from wherever I was, and Marge would answer the phone, oh, Marv, it's John. Hello, John. How much is gas in New Jersey now? Now, as far as I know, she's the only woman in the world that figured out that that's what American men want. They want to know what does gasoline cost, you know, and they want to be able to tell people what gasoline costs. And Marge always would then say for the last 5 or 6 years, how much does gas cost? Well, that's the wonderful woman, you know, the little tiny slice of her life that I've been privileged to enjoy is wonderful. And the rest of you that have more of her life, you're even more blessed than I was. And thank you, Marge, for all the wonderful joy you brought, not only in my life, but everybody that you ever came in contact with. It's wonderful. Let's give Marge a hand. It's my pleasure to share that with you. Amen.